Tennessee basketball picks up its second commit in the span of 5 days. Josh Ward, Ward Wednesday, and some more talk on future schedules. That's what's on the docket here on this Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to this edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. 5 days a week, every weekday morning on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. It's your go-to Tennessee football and basketball, really baseball, Tennessee athletics podcast that you can find. There's not another one like it, so I really do appreciate you guys for hanging out with us here today. A busy news day on Tuesday for Tennessee. Tuesday morning around 8:30 in the morning, Tennessee picked up another commit for Rick Barnes' basketball program. We'll tell you all about Toby Awaka here on today's show. We'll continue the conversation from yesterday as well about the 2023 schedule where Tennessee swapping out BYU for Virginia and get back in that larger conversation about non-conference scheduling. So it was a fun conversation we had yesterday and on the radio Wednesday or Tuesday morning, I guess. And so I want to continue it here. And then, of course, Josh Ward will come by and he'll chat with us all about whatever's going on with Tennessee athletics in the world of Josh Ward, as he does each and every week. So it's going to be a fun show today, and I appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us here. Let's get into it. Toby Awaka, all right? So there was some confusion on Tuesday morning. Is he 2023? Is he 2022? Well, from what I've been told, and again, I'm more of a football recruiting guy, but from people I trust and people I work for that have been doing it since before I've been alive, he is going to be a part of the 2022-2023 basketball team. Toby Awaka will be on campus at some point in time this summer, and he made the call after roughly 48 hours, I guess, after his official visit this past weekend. He's a 6'8", 245-pound power forward, and he comes from the New York area where he played AAU ball with Zakiya Ziegler and Team Lightning for that Nike Elite AAU circuits, if you will, up in the New York Lightning, a well-established Nike grassroots program up in New York. So that was obviously a big factor for choosing to come to the University of Tennessee, because he has a teammate and a friend in Zakiya Ziegler that can obviously show him the way and help him out a little bit. Here's the scouting report. This is from the coach at St. Francis Preparatory School, who played against Awaka this season. Toby Awaka is a tremendous talent. No other team in the league had a weapon like him. He's big, strong, physical, and great around the basket. He's effective from the perimeter, too. Defensively, he rebounds everything and is a major presence as a rim protector. This is a welcoming addition for Tennessee if you think about the front court depth. Okay, so you lost Brandon Huntley Hatfield. He transfers to Louisville. You lost John Fulkerson, who spent about 8 years here at the University of Tennessee, and he's no longer here. So really the rotation there was very, very shallow. You had Olivier Cumwell coming off a broken ankle where he missed the last, we'll call it third of the 2021-22 season this past year. You're returning Uros Plavsic, who turned into a serviceable big man, but of course lacks some of the offensive ability that you want to see. You have Jonas Adu, who's coming back, who again is very, very raw, but turned into not an established player, but turned into a guy that you thought good things about for sure. And so now you throw in Awaka, that would be the fourth man in that rotation. That just gives you some added depth, right? Tennessee didn't, they played a lot of players at points and times last year in the front court, but they never truly, had a guy where they counted on for 25 to 30 minutes a game. At points and times, that was John Fulkerson. At points and times, that was Uros. At points and times, Jonas Adu got a whole lot of run, but really the four of those guys split those minutes at those two positions. And before the addition of Awaka, you had options to play the four. If you go small ball, of course, with Josiah Jordan James, and then with Julian Phillips, the five-star wing, who committed to Tennessee on Thursday and, of course, signed with the University of Tennessee on Monday. So you have options. You have lineup flexibility. It's something that Rick Barnes likes to have, and a guy like Josiah Jordan James and now Julian Phillips. But Julian Phillips is likely going to be a one-and-done player that goes to the National Basketball Association after one season. So this is a welcoming addition. When he spoke with Volquest following his official visit on Sunday afternoon, he described himself as a low post enforcer and rebounder. And again, that's something that Tennessee really, really needed. when Volquez spoke with him after committing on Tuesday morning. This is a quote from Awaka. "Once I got back and thought about it," talking about his official visit, "it was really just the hospitality that I found there. I felt like the coaching staff really believed in me. I felt like they showed me a solid plan for how I would be used. And at the end of the day, I just felt like I could have some really solid relationships with that staff." He goes on, "I felt like after really looking at everything that Coach Rick Barnes had established record of coaching players like me, he's shown that he can develop players like me and get them to the next level, whether that's overseas or whatever. Having Zakai there, Zakai Ziegler, was definitely a factor. We've been close from having played together, and I know I can trust him. We spent a lot of time together. I was there on my visit with him, and he was just telling me what a great place this is and how good of a fit I would be with the program. Having this connection definitely helped with my decision. In the end, it just felt like Tennessee was perfect." He goes on and concludes, "It's been very rewarding to see my hard work pay off. My AAU coaches had always told me to stay patient, to just keep grinding and working, and that eventually I would get noticed. I'm thankful for the way that they encouraged me and thankful that things worked out the way that they did." So if he went ahead and signed back in the fall signing period, he had a ton of mid-major opportunities there on the plate. As time went on, he continued to get more and more love and more decisions. You had some other schools jump into the mix here late, and he's very much a late bloomer. That's, you know, without a doubt. Maryland, Pittsburgh, St. John's, they were just a couple of the teams that showed a lot of interest here with Tennessee. But as he pointed out, the hard work paid off and everything worked out the way it was. So Toby Awaka is now a member of the University of Tennessee basketball team. Again, I've been told that he will be on campus at some point this summer and that he will, you know, have a chance to help this team if he comes in and works hard and, you know, have a chance to get some early minutes. And we'll have to see exactly how that works out. Now, very, very raw, of course, and Tennessee still has two scholarship spots available for the class of 2022, following these two additions here in the last week. You know, Tyrese Hunter is a guy that Tennessee's very much intrigued with in the transfer portal, and you know, Kyle Jefferson is a guy, or DJ Jefferson potentially. I forgot his name. Sorry. He's a guy that Tennessee is very much engulfed in that realm as well. And so, you know, we'll have to see exactly if Tennessee adds one, if they fill both of those spots, or, you know, whatever the case might be, you know, moving forward. So this is a good get for the University of Tennessee, no doubt about it. And Rick Barnes, you know, showing that he's capable of filling a roster in this era of name, image, and likeness, as it still is a weird time for college basketball, without a doubt, because, you know, we've never seen a time like this where you're pretty much turning over your entire roster, you know, year in and year out. I mean, since he had to replace a ton. His name is DJ Jefferson, excuse me. DJ Jefferson's the prospect that I'm referring to. So two slots available. DJ Jefferson set to decide later this week. Of course, he's from the prep route. And then, of course, Iowa State transfer Tyrese Hunter is a guy that Tennessee is very much in with as well. So it's a weird offseason. College basketball, we've never seen anything like it. You know, turn it over half your roster, the era of name, image, and likeness. But Tennessee's filling those spots and getting prepped for the 2022-2023 basketball season. And Tennessee did that on Tuesday with the addition of Toby Awaka. Josh Ward will stop by and he'll tell us what he thinks about Toby Awaka and the rest of the news about the scheduling change for Tennessee and a whole lot more. That's coming up here next on Locked On Vols. But this episode is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Why endure the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models when it's now impossible for your local chain of auto parts store to stock up on all the parts that you may need? Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning with the wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands and specifications that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer and you have access to rockauto.com right in your pocket. So, save time and money when using rockauto.com. I choose to spend up to 30, 50, sometimes even 100% for the same parts from your chain store or your car dealership. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving it to do-it-yourselfers online for 20 years. The prices are always so reliably low for every single customer at RockAuto.com. They've got everything that you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oils, even the new carpets. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for all of your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com.
Bringing on Josh Ward for this edition of Ward Wednesday, as we do each and every Wednesday here on the show. And Josh, early Tuesday morning, I guess, we'll call it about 8:05 in the morning. Tennessee basketball picked up another commit. Toby Awaka, I believe is how we're pronouncing his name. Another talented prospect brought into the program. Quite a run here for Rick Barnes. Five-star Julian Phillips, commitment into last week, signed on Monday, and now Awaka.
Yeah, Tennessee needs some help in the front court. This could be that. Tennessee has spots available. You know, let's see, is this a short-term or this more of a long-term conversation for the University of Tennessee? Because I do believe when we're talking about the big men, we're talking about Olivier Kumwa coming back. You have Uros Plavsic coming back. I think Jonas Adu can take a big step forward. Lineup construction, let's see. I mean, you can get creative going small ball again. So Phillips factors in, and then Jemai Meshack. So, yeah, I think a lot of the rotation is probably set for what Tennessee will have this season, unless a surprise, I don't know if it'd be a surprise, but a transfer comes available that they like, that they go after, that has played big minutes. But Tennessee had to replace some guys that decided to leave the program after last year. Think about Tomba. And yeah, obviously Brandon Huntley Hatfield leaving. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that would have played a big role for Tennessee if he had stayed. But Tennessee has stayed aggressive in trying to find players. And you never know what a guy might be able to do. Like when, you know, same AAU program, in fact, when Tennessee discovered Zakai Ziegler and brought him in, the idea was not to bring him in and have him contribute right away. The idea was to have him come in as a reclassifying player to redshirt, develop, and then maybe now we could be talking about Zakai Ziegler helping. Then all of a sudden he's an important player for you playing crunch time minutes on the all-defense team as a freshman in the SEC. So you never know, and that includes the coaching staff, but it's about evaluating guys that you believe can help, get them on campus, see how they perform, see how they respond in practice, and that'll create opportunities and, really importantly, create competition.
Yeah, and he's a huge piece for Tennessee right now because I think it's fairly obvious Tennessee would like to add a point guard, but they haven't. And, you know, you got Zakai Ziegler coming in. You're bringing B.J. Edwards in, which is nice. But I still think that, you know, even if you can't find a point guard, you feel better because of the progression of Zakai Ziegler. But still, I think you like to have somebody there. But certainly a great freshman season for Double Z last year.
Yep.
But as far as Julian Phillips, I mean, a talented, talented player. The 7th five-star that's been brought in under Rick Barnes, committed and signed with LSU, got out of that. And then there were twists and turns, maybe G League. And then it was Auburn, but able to go to Tennessee. Rick Barnes able to bring him in as he made that announcement on CBS HQ last week. Good player, really, really talented player. But again, Tennessee's got a lot of talented players, you know, giving themselves a chance. But as far as how he adapts to the college game, I think it'll be a short learning curve. But another capable shooter for the backcourt and a guy that can stretch the field or the court.
Yeah, I think that Josiah Jordan-James is so good for somebody like Julian Phillips because they probably have similar ability in terms of offensively can score from the outside all the way toward attacking the basket. That's something that I hope for Tennessee that Julian Phillips is able to do pretty quickly, getting to the basket, because that's something that Tennessee's offense lacked. If Josiah can do that more this year, I think there's a good chance we could see him be the aggressive player he was at the peak this past season, again coming back. But the reason I say Josiah, I think, is good for Julian is that both came in as five-star players. Now, Julian is planning to be a one-and-done guy. He is expecting to be here for a year and then go to the NBA. There's nothing wrong with that. But Josiah experienced that coming in with big-time pressure. Now he's 4 years in. He understands what it takes to develop, what is expected playing for Rick Barnes, because that's not easy. It's a great opportunity, but it's not easy for sure. But then also, all that pressure, like Santi can take some of that. Josiah can take some of that. And then you hope that Julian can fill his role while he tries to develop. Similar, you know, Kennedy Chandler, he came in with big expectations. He's at the point guard position, though. He's got to run everything while he was still trying to figure things out as a freshman. So I think it's an ideal spot for Julian to be able to come in and play because you have this core coming back. I mentioned his name, but let's not overlook Olivier Kumwa from a leadership standpoint. He's a guy that's been in the program now coming up on 4 years and is coming back having missed the end of last season. So I think Tennessee has a bunch of really good pieces in place, but you still look for talent. And replacing Kennedy Chandler's talent is not easy. Julian Phillips, he stacks right up there with how he's regarded. Now let's just see if it translates quickly at Tennessee.
Josh Ward on the show for Ward Wednesday. And Josh, a new opponent for 2023. No BYU. Instead, heading to Nashville, Nissan Stadium to welcome Virginia. It'll be a home game for Tennessee. It's weird. Seen a lot of mixed reviews about this one. It's not like BYU is a powerhouse, but a pretty cool trip. you know, Virginia's a Power 5 opponent, but nothing to get excited about. You're playing inside Nissan Stadium. I know fans don't like that. What's your take on this whole thing?
Yeah, I like the idea of Tennessee going to Provo because of the scenery, not as much the opponent or the game itself.
I'm bummed because I was going to go to that game, and now I'm not.
Yeah, I have a buddy that lives in L.A., big Tennessee fan, that planned to go to Provo for the game. He's really excited about the trip. So yeah, that part of it is disappointing. Switching from BYU to Virginia, I'm going to struggle to really react too strongly one way or the other to that. There are pluses and minuses, I would say. The pluses are, hey, the game's going to be in Nashville. So you're going to, against Virginia. So you're going to have Tennessee fans that are there. And overall, if we are talking about fan opportunity, it is a better opportunity for fans to go see Tennessee in Nashville than going to Provo, as cool as that trip would be. And it's a chance to have more money on your side and a better chance to win, I would say. Not that you should be worried if the program is headed where you expect about going to BYU, but still, it's going to be a better opportunity for Tennessee to win. So if they had said, hey, Josh, would you rather see the game stay in Provo and Tennessee take on BYU, or would you rather see a game in Nashville against Virginia? Then I would have said BYU in Provo, but there are definite advantages and obvious reasons for Tennessee to have this game against Virginia in Nashville. And by the time that game occurs, fans are going to have a great time there going to the game, and it'll be Tennessee's going to win that game. I'm very confident. And that's what fans will hope will kickstart a big run in 23.
Yeah. And you know, last thing here, you know, both ADs are spinning this as a win for their programs. And I do think that there are some positives for sure. I mean, I don't think the other team's losing. I mean, you got BYU going to the Big 12, already playing Arkansas, you know, already having to change all around a whole lot of stuff. Drop Virginia. That's why Virginia's looking for an opponent. You know, Tennessee would have to pay up, you know, probably about $500,000 to get somebody to come in and play them first game of the season. There's net revenue in terms of a positive gain for Tennessee by working with the Nashville Sports Authority Group. But also, too, think about this. Potentially, you have a brand-new freshman quarterback, three new offensive linemen, a lot of new pieces for that 2023 team. And their first game is going to be away from Neyland Stadium, probably on a Thursday or a Saturday. Not the best of an ideal situation for that time. So I can see why Tennessee might have been like, well, okay, we'll reevaluate things.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. You never know. I mean, we saw a few years ago Tennessee open at home against Georgia State and lose the game. So anything can happen. Surely that won't in this case. And Virginia's a much better team or program than Georgia State. Don't get me wrong there. So you never know a year in advance where things are going to be, especially at Tennessee. But considering right now the trajectory of the program and where things are going, having a game in Nashville against Virginia, that it's a good opportunity to start things off on the right foot. I also just say, I mean, a game against Virginia, itself does not really fire me up. Like if it's a game in Nashville against USC or against Texas or any other big name power conference team, that's going to create more buzz. This is, it's a good opportunity. And part of that is a good opportunity to win the game, to make sure you have a better chance to win the game for Tennessee, which is a lot of what fans are going to be worried about in the first place. Getting the chance to go to Nashville to see the Vols play and see the Vols win is probably priority number one for Tennessee fans.
This is a bigger discussion, but quickly as we wrap things up, just name a team or two that you'd like to see Tennessee play. And if you could call the shots, Tennessee would play this team, you know, here soon in the non-conference schedule.
Yeah, so I mentioned Texas. I think that's a pretty quick answer for
which
a lot of people.
Because it's coming to the SEC.
Yeah, so eventually we're going to get that. Now, depending on how they do scheduling, maybe it'll be like in 2030. But someday Tennessee we'll see against Texas. Washington is one for me, a home and home. And I'm big on this. This is another reason that I'm not going to get too fired up about the game in Nashville. Love Nashville. It's great. But I love the home and home of college football. Tennessee and Washington, both on the river, both on the water, with the ability to roll up in your boats, I think it would be a cool storyline. So Tennessee, Washington, Pac-12. Washington's a quality football program that's undergone change here in the last few years. But
you're going to get that too here in a couple of years, so that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's where I would go to start things out. And then they've played, but Tennessee-Miami is cool. And now Miami looks like it might be coming back. Couple of NIL locations as well, so it could be the NIL Bowl. So if I could get Tennessee Miami again, sign me up for that. The history of those two programs is actually pretty fun.
What's coming up later on the show this week?
Yeah, a lot of football talk. We continue to cover NIL and what's going on. But this baseball team, I mean, it's about to be go time. Yep. And Jason Swain and I have really been talking about...
Big baseball guy, Jason Swain.
He is now, because he has said he is pounding the table, national championship or bust, for this Tennessee baseball team. So 1 weekend to go, and then it's postseason time, and it will really be on for the Vols.
I mean, it really is to that point at this point, right? I mean, they're so good, it's national championship or bust.
Yeah, see, I'm not necessarily of that opinion, but... I know why so many people are saying that, and you just did as well, because Tennessee has put itself in that position. That's really what it's about to me. Is
like, I guess it would mean, in my opinion, like that it's a failed season, but it's just like, well, I guess that's what bust means. I don't know. It's just like the expectations and the...
Yeah.
It's there because they are so good.
If Tennessee finishes the season with anything but a national championship, that ending is going to be extremely disappointing. Yep. By comparison, last year, Tennessee, and it was disappointing when they went 0-2 in Omaha. But even in that moment, it was still celebrated as, hey, we got to Omaha. Look at this program. Mm-hmm. If Tennessee goes 0-2 or doesn't make the finals or doesn't make Omaha for sure, then it will be devastating in the moment. And he will look back and say, hey, that was an all-time team that did not get the all-time accomplishment. So that's why it's being talked about that way. But that's why you play sports. That's why you compete for the chance to be the best. And Tennessee has a chance to be the best this year and one of the best all time.
Noon to 3, weekdays on the Sports Animal. It is Josh and Swain. Something else that was really disappointing for so long, Josh continued to steal my Built Bars for like the 6 months after I started working at Logan. How long were you getting my Built Bars? You didn't tell me that was happening.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If you get out of your car, leave it unlocked with the keys in the ignition, and I drive it away, is that really stealing the car? I mean, maybe the answer is yes, but I'm trying to come up with an analogy. The answer is, for quite some time, they were still sending me Built Bars, and I was happily eating them because I enjoy Built Bars.
Yeah, I mean, the birthday cake, Puff Bars just came to my house. I'm finally getting those now once Josh finally, did the right thing. And 17 grams of protein. We talk about it all the time. It's good for you. The summer months coming up as you get out on the water. Ditch the candy bars. Ditch the unhealthy snacks. Built Bar, tons and tons of different flavors, including, just like I said, the birthday cake Puff Bars, the new flavor. It can be for you. It's for me as well. And Josh likes it as well. I brought him one at work here the other day because, he's not getting those anymore. But we all like the Built Bars here, and you can as well. Tons of selection. It's good for you. Ditch the calories. Only 4 net carbs, 4 grams of sugar, but 17 grams of protein. And you can find it all at Built.com. You'll get 15% off if you put in the promo code LOCK15 at Built.com. Go to Built.com. Check out all the protein bars, all the Built Bars. That is Built.com.
Got a couple minutes left here on this edition of Locked On Vols, your Wednesday edition. And guys, I can't thank you enough that you're choosing to spend your time with me here on this podcast. It'll never go unnoticed, truly. You could be spending your time any which way you want to, but you choose to do it here on Locked On Vols, so really, really do appreciate it. All right, so earlier this week on Monday, the news broke out that Tennessee is not going to play BYU. Tennessee is going to play Virginia at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. So it got us thinking about the bigger picture again, non-conference football games that you might want to see in the future. So this is the non-conference slate, or the headliners, rather. I mean, there's a bunch of, lower-level, teams in there, mid-majors, stuff like that, that are on the schedule that'll be out-of-conference games that are already in place for, through the year 2030. But here's the big headliners from, this year through the year 2030 in terms of non-conference. In 2022, it'll be at Pitt. 2023, of course, Virginia at Nissan Stadium. 2024, Oklahoma. That's likely going to move, I would imagine, because Oklahoma's coming to the SEC. So we'll have to pay attention to the 2024 season. 2025, against Syracuse and Atlanta, Georgia, which is doing absolutely nothing for anybody. 26 and 27 will be a home-and-home against Nebraska. 28 is going to be West Virginia at Charlotte. And again, that's cool. I really, really like West Virginia. I think Tennessee should play West Virginia a lot. I think West Virginia would do great in the SEC in terms of environment and in terms of that style of play and all that. But playing them in Charlotte, we've seen that movie before, right? And then in 2029 and 2030, it's a home-and-home with Washington. As I said on yesterday's show, I truly believe one of the great things in college football is the home-and-homes, when you get to go out and explore. You get to go out and see different parts of the country, different fan bases. That's what this trip, this return trip, BYU came here in 2019, and Tennessee going back there in 2023, that's what that was all about. Provo, getting to see one of the most beautiful sceneries in all of college football. But that's obviously not on the table anymore. Tennessee is going to come back and play Virginia at Nissan Stadium. as I kind of pointed out in yesterday's show, this was kind of a win-win, if you want to call it, for BYU, for Tennessee. Tennessee gets to save a whole lot of money. Tennessee gets to have a ball game where more and more fans from the state of Tennessee can go and watch. Tennessee doesn't have to start the 2023 season with a brand new quarterback, potentially a true freshman quarterback in Nico Iamaliava, three brand new offensive linemen on the road in Provo. You look at BYU, on the other hand, BYU doesn't have to play two SEC teams in a year they're moving to the Big 12. BYU doesn't have to play Arkansas as well along with Tennessee. I'll put you out there. BYU couldn't take the hit of not wanting to play an SEC team, so they have their AD spinning it. Tennessee has its AD and Danny White spinning it, saying that it's a win for the Volunteers. Tennessee and Virginia both are going to make money by playing this game. Even with giving the top of ticket sales back to BYU, that's where that buyout comes from. So it's not a true buyout, if you will, but Tennessee's going to make a cap of $1.5 million from this game, as will Virginia. And, so on and so forth. The Volunteers nor Virginia have to pay $500,000 to have some no-name team come in and kick off that season opener in 2023. So they'll just play each other. So, that's kind of, we talked all about that on yesterday's show, but nothing about Virginia's sexy. Nothing about Virginia at Nissan Stadium is really just, getting you going about that season opener, right? Let's be honest about it. Sure, you trade in BYU for a Power 5 opponent, but I'm not going to sit here and put on the orange shade of sunglasses and say, what a win for Tennessee. What a win. Tough for beefing up the schedule, yada, yada. I'm not going to say that. I think it's a complete wash, to be completely honest with you. But nonetheless, it is a Power 5 opponent. If it wasn't Virginia, and say 2024, there's an opening there with Oklahoma, Oklahoma coming to the SEC, say that schedule gets changed and there's an opening in 2024. What about future non-conference schedules? If it wasn't Virginia, who were some of those teams you like to play? Tennessee's played a lot of these teams. There was a home and home. One of the first teams that jumped out to me was, Southern Cal, USC. Tennessee had a home and home with USC, I think back in 1980 and 1981. That was 40 years ago, 41, 42 years ago, right? Tennessee's actually played Notre Dame quite a few times since 1998 season. I think they played them two or three times since the 1998 season. But again, that's been a long time. I think the last one was in 05, maybe 06. That was almost 20 years ago, right? I'd like to see Tennessee play Notre Dame. Ohio State's very intriguing as well because it's, the best of the best in the country. Leaders of the Big Ten. I think that would be cool to see. And that realm, Michigan as well. Remember the arms race with Tennessee Vols and the Michigan Wolverines, seeing who could pack in more and more fans into their stadium and build the biggest stadium? That was my childhood, right? I mean, Tennessee's put in luxury seats and they're not in that conversation anymore. But for quite some time, they were. That'd be a nice little storyline game with Michigan. What about, let's get regionally based here. What about Clemson? Clemson's in the ACC. There's been nothing cool about Clemson prior to the 2017 season, but Clemson would be really, really neat. I don't know when the last time Tennessee played Clemson in football. I mean, it's certainly not been since I've been alive, right? That would be interesting to see. What about Miami? Tennessee's played Miami a couple of times, but it's been a minute. Miami, if it could start pulling its weight in the ACC along with another one of these teams I'm about to mention, that would be a really, really intriguing matchup in terms of a non-conference game. In that realm, Florida State. What about Florida State? Florida State's a college football power, right? Or at least it has been throughout its history. Can it start pulling its weight in the ACC? Can it start getting back to where it needs to be? That would be a fun and intriguing matchup for the University of Tennessee. Another one might be Louisville. Regionally, it's right there. That doesn't do a whole lot for me, but it would make sense because, again, it is Power 5. It is a team that has had some good seasons here of late. And it's a game that wouldn't cost an arm and a leg to go if you did a home-and-home with because it's so close. And then again, I mentioned West Virginia. I think West Virginia would be a whole lot of fun. You're getting that game once again in 2028, but much like in 2018, 10 years later, seen that song and dance, it's going to be in Charlotte at the Panther Stadium. So I don't like that. I'd much rather do home-and-homes, but it just kind of is what it is. At the end of the day, Syracuse and Atlanta, Georgia, that's not doing nothing for me. That's an ESPN game. That's a TV grab. That is nothing but, just trying to make some money. And I guess I understand that. But Syracuse and Atlanta, Georgia, just nothing's getting me juiced about that. I know some of the older generation would like to see what's going to happen in 2026 and 2027. That's a home and home with Nebraska. That'd be neat. I mean, that's cool. Scott Frost will be long gone by then. He'll be, fired 5 years prior after the 2022 season, right? But, that'll be interesting because Nebraska and Tennessee, Two of the best teams historically in college, football, the run of the 90s and all that. That's kind of cool. Oklahoma, Tennessee's played Oklahoma a couple of times. Oklahoma's moving to the SEC, but that series was a whole lot of fun as well. And then another one I haven't mentioned yet, but same with Oklahoma on that same realm is Texas. Tennessee will get Texas at some point because Texas is coming to the SEC. So those are a few teams that I kind of threw out there. My top three would be USC, Notre Dame, and probably Ohio State. I didn't put Texas in there because Texas is coming to the SEC. I think Miami and Florida State and Clemson are three really, really good ones from the ACC as well. So what say you? What team would you like to see Tennessee play in its non-conference schedule? Keep in mind, it's probably not going to happen for quite some time because the schedule's booked up, but it's fun to think about, right? If not Virginia, then who? If Oklahoma moves aside in 2024, then who? Could Tennessee potentially add more to its schedule? Because I'm in the belief that you play in the SEC. There's already been two college football playoff teams selected from the SEC, one time to go and compete in the four-team college football playoff. You take care of business in your conference, you're going to be taken care of. You expand it to eight teams, maybe there's two or three teams from the SEC. You expand it to 12, maybe half the league, maybe half the SEC gets into the college football playoff. So I know Georgia, Alabama, and some of these other teams are beefing up their schedules down the line, and I get it, so it's not nothing, but I'm in the belief that, you have one marquee non-conference game, and then you have your SEC schedule. That's good. Weigh the risk-reward here, right? I mean, how much are you risking, and how much can you gain from that when you already play an SEC schedule? You already play Alabama every single year. You play Florida. You play Georgia. You play a rotation of, whatever team from the SEC West is coming in here. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. But what say you? It's fun to talk about, fun to think about with all the scheduling talk here moving forward with Tennessee now playing Virginia to kick off the season in 2023. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Had a whole lot of fun. Tennessee gains the commit of Toby Awaka. Josh Ward stopped by the show. And, of course, still conversating about the Virginia game taking the place of BYU to kick off the 2023 season. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Give Locked On SEC a ring today. Make that your second listen with Chris Gordy right behind Locked On Vols. He does a fantastic job getting interviews from around the conference. I think Locked On SEC, your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, right here on the show. Thank you so much, guys. We'll do it again tomorrow, but until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.